starts right now.
I'd like to recognize Senior Chancellor Adam Miller for an update on Warrington Middle School.
Going back to 1999, the school grade for Warrington, you'll see that Warrington Middle has been a DRF school since 2012. This is the only school in the state with that history, with a D for six or more years, and of course Warrington has had a DRF going all the way back to 2012.
So I've lived here 9 years, and that means that Warrington Middle School has been a DRF, that's a failing school, for 3 years longer than I've lived here. Then since 2012, this is in their 12th year now of being an unacceptable grade school. This is one of the two senior chancellors for the Florida Board of Education, and he was just kind of presenting to the board the background so they would understand why they wanted to yell at our school board superintendent and board chair, which they did.
You'll remember that in 2020, state assessments were paused. In 2021, we administered state assessments. School districts and schools had the option of receiving a school grade. Warrington opted out. Had they received a school grade, it would have been a D that year as
so
well.
Just to clarify, they didn't actually get a failing grade in 2020, but they would have.
In the most recent school year, in both or in English language arts, mathematics, and science, you will see their percentage of students on grade level compared to the state average for grades 6 through 8, and you'll see that there is a significant gap, close to 30 percentage points in each of those content areas.
30 percentage points below the state average on key areas of math and language sciences. 30% lower scores at Warrington than even just the average. And oh, by the way, in case you think like, you know, well, once schools get in a bad position, nobody in the state is in this position this long. But once schools get into a bad position, they go into turnaround. That's when you're officially in the, we're working on it, trying to get them back up to a C grade. 80% of them come out of that. 80% of them in a year turn around.
So of the 25 schools that had a state board approved turnaround plan this year, 80% of those, so 20 out of 25, did improve to a school grade of C or higher.
So the vast majority of schools that get into trouble get out of trouble. The vast majority of schools are not in trouble for anything like this long. Warrington is a unique catastrophe in the state. I mean, in the entire state of Florida is what we're talking about.
One commonality that we see across those schools, and I think that if we still had our principal of the year here, he would certainly attest to this and has exemplified this, that the one commonality is those schools really take ownership over the progress of their students and their schools.
So taking ownership, personal accountability, getting in there and saying, look, we're going to raise these kids like they're our own, basically. Somebody's got to, because it's not happening yet. Now, I want to give you just a little taste of how the school board took the presentation from Tim Smith, Superintendent Tim Smith, and from Board Chair Paul Fetsko, because Adam Miller, and again, in kind of wrapping up his presentation of the backdrop, says,
I also would like to point out that I think the state board has really approached the situation with a good balance of urgency and grace, considering the challenging year we had in 2020.
And Esther Bird, one of the board members, toward the end of the about an hour or so that they talked about this, her comment was,
Senior Chancellor Miller said earlier that this board has expressed a balance of urgency and grace. And I just want to say, as far as I'm concerned, we're done with grace. So we've got to get this done.
Yep. We're done with grace. You've got 11 to 12
big
years.
Big words, though. I mean,
right?
Yeah, the way she said it.
And listen, that was that was the soft version. They got, you know, the old expression, take them out to the woodshed. They got taken out to the woodshed. I mean, Tim Smith and Paul Fetsko got in as much a way as you can have it said in a Board of Education meeting. I mean, a Board of Education meeting. I mean, they got read the riot act. They got told that they were screwing up, that they were failing these kids, that they were not doing their jobs, and that this just needs to end. You need to get this, because what's been happening is the school board has been saying, well, we, you know, either the basically the Florida Department of Education said, you either got to close that school or it's got to become a charter. That's what they say. That's it. Those are your options. All right, well, I guess we'll look for charters. And they only found one charter, Charter Schools USA, who came in and said, we'd be interested in this, because others looked and nobody wanted it. And then they came back with a proposal, and the board basically said, well, we don't like that proposal. That's kind of, you know, not very good. Well, the alternative is close the school, and the board keeps dithering. And then, of course, you know, Charter Schools USA, and they keep saying mean things about Charter Schools USA at least one time. Remember all those strong words that Paul Fetsko said about them, that, you know, this is a non-starter and they missed their deadlines. We shouldn't be doing business with people like this. And I'd rather see the school closed. Well, you know, Charter Schools USA comes back with a proposal that Tim Smith outlines that has things in it that they don't like. But your alternative is close the school. That's what the Board of Education is saying, is you keep saying you don't want to close the school, and yet you keep acting like people who are willing to close the school because you're not getting this deal done. Get the deal done. Get a charter in there. It's been 12 years. That's basically the tone of this meeting. So here's, just so you get a sense of it, Manny Diaz, okay, he's the, you know, former Senate president. I forget where Manny was in the legislature for a long time, but he's the commissioner of education.
Thank you, Superintendent. Commissioner, did you have a comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm trying to contain the level of frustration that I have right now, because this is, when we get down to all these conversations that are adult conversations, are a bit frustrating to me personally. This school has been failing students for more than a decade, and it's inexcusable that we're still having adult problem conversations and not focusing on students.
Like, Doug Broxson has been involved, the base commander, each of whom only lasts 3 years. That's the duration. Multiple base commanders have been involved. And, you know, everybody's doing their best to help, and y'all, meaning the school board and the superintendent, just can't seem to get this done. So Tim Smith, for his part in his presentation.
On April 13th, we received a reply from Charter Schools USA that asked for two new items. The first was an initial 15-year charter agreement. The second was a 30-year facility lease for $1 per year, where if Charter School USA were to build buildings or enhance the facility, we as a school district would have to pay for those upgrades if the charter agreement were terminated. And so we had talked, Charter Schools USA had mentioned about building new buildings. What was new on that was the clawback provision.
Yeah, I mean, that's new. Charter Schools USA knows that they're the only date. They're the only one, and they are asking for the moon. Okay. Or close the school. You know, you don't have an option here. And so they keep complaining about the terms of the deal that Charter Schools USA is offering. And I understand, you know, it's frustrating. But again, what's your alternative? You don't have one. So what are you going to do? You know, one of the things is that if they build a building and then, you know, something happens, then the school's going to have to reimburse them for the building they built. And they were talking about things like whether the, you know, that they would overspend on these buildings because they would be basically up to the highest standards of hurricane and storm preparedness. And Manny Diaz says, no, they don't have to build them to those standards because I wrote the legislation that you're talking about, and that's not how it works. Like, he's annoyed. And then they talk about things like, you know, holding the zone and whether it's going to be a K-8 or a K-12 and just at the duration of the deal. You know, is it going to be 5 years, going to be 7 years, going to be 15 years? And at every point, it's like they say, well, these are the things that are keeping us from signing on the dotted line. And the commissioners or the board members are just like, dude, This is so dumb. You are failing these kids. Get the lead out. And, you know, Paul Fetzko's up there basically trying to tell them, you know, well, we need an application. Like, why do you need an application? They've already got the job, and you're telling them that you're not going to sign a deal until they fill out an employee application? That's ridiculous. And here's one interaction about that.
The other thing that we've had some difficulty with is there has been no charter application.
Who selected Charter Schools USA?
I have no idea.
Superintendent?
Yes.
Was that a choice your school district made?
Yes. Okay. They were the only one interested.
So in the matter of an application, so you picked them, and now you're asking them to jump through a bureaucratic hoop of filling out an application? You've been working with them for a year. What's the point of an application? Is it to fill out the form?
Here's what I need. I just need a final agreement so they can start staffing the school.
That's what we really need.
So we got to have an application. Do you really? We got to have these terms. Do you really? We don't like how long they're okay, and? This was the tone. It's like, you know, well, the dog ate my homework, and, you know, the bus came late, and the, power flickered, and the alarm didn't go off, and mom didn't make me a good meal. And the board's like, you just need to turn in the work and get this done because you're failing these kids. I mean, it was brutal to watch. It was really, and they were, I mean, like, taken to the woodshed. No exaggeration. It was, like, I got the feeling, like, if these board members had the ability to just remove the school board and the superintendent, they were that angry. You know, that's the level of frustration that they're operating at over all these years' inability to get something done to fix Warrington Middle School. So, did the school board and the superintendent take this message to heart? That's going to be the question. And look, Tim Smith is relatively new in this job, right? And he said at one point, look, we've done everything you told us to do. I mean, I honest to God said to the state board at one point, we just can't seem to get this thing negotiated. Every time we try to negotiate, the deal gets worse. Can you guys do it for us? Like, oh my God. Do you guys want your jobs? Do your jobs. 522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And look, if you're doing HVAC work of any kind, you know, you got a lot of options, a lot of people you can call, but you want to make sure that when the work gets done, it gets done right the first time. Good products, good service, good prices, all of that. That's Peden Air Conditioning, Heating, and Electrical. Their main goal is to provide you quality service and installation with the best products in the industry. And look, you're going to be turning on that AC full time. You need to get it checked out. You need to get it inspected just to make sure that it is going to work right, work all the time, not cost you extra energy because it's working inefficiently. Right now, $49. That's all for a good inspection for your AC to find out that it's going to work properly the whole time. Now, they do a bunch of things, okay? Peden does a lot of stuff. They do sewer camera inspections. Free right now. And if you do one with them and then you need work done, I mean, hopefully you don't, but if you do need work done, they'll take $250 off the repairs because you did the inspection for free with them. So if you got AC work or replacement, you got electrical work, you got sewer work, plumbing, they take care of you, okay? Peden Air Conditioning, Heating, Electrical, they will take care of all of this stuff. They've got offices in Destin, Fort Walton, Panama City, large location here in Pensacola, Ellison Field, and they're expanding to Baldwin County soon. So find out more about them and schedule your inspection today, Peden, PEADEN.com.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's SKYRIZI, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With SKYRIZI, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and SKYRIZI is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand, nothing on my skin, that's my new place.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
You can listen to News Radio Pensacola on the radio at 92.3, 95.3, or AM 1620. Online at newsradio923.com or on our mobile app.
Stupid is, stupid does, sir.
Good morning, 525 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 68 now, 80 later, if that helps you. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Bernie Sanders says he's not planning to run again in 2024, but he says he is backing President Biden's re-election bid. The Vermont Independent finished second to Biden in 2020 for the presidential nomination.
His mittens finished third.
That's true. Absolutely.
And fourth. Go ahead,
one,
David.
One of the two surviving victims of the University of Idaho murders says she doesn't want to testify in court. Bethany Funke's reportedly asked a judge now to reject a request by the defense that she appear in court for the trial against suspect Brian Kohlberger. Her and another student were in the off-campus house when four other roommates were stabbed to death November 13th. And the Taliban says they've killed the person that was behind the 2021 Kabul airport suicide bombing. That killed over 150 people, including 13 U.S. service members. The ISIS operative was reportedly killed in a Taliban operation this month, although they have not given a name. The U.S., though, does say that their intelligence has confirmed that death.
Oh, very good. Yeah, I'll take that. Put them up on the board real quick, or take them off the board, depending on which metaphor you like. David, thanks so much for the update. 527 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We got the final list of names for the Pensacola Street Sweeper naming contest. Oh. I don't know if you saw this, but out of the 1,600 names, they have whittled it. Yeah, sure, let's say it. Whittled it down to 12. And the public gets to vote on those. I voted yesterday for my favorite three. It's kind of an odd voting system. I'm not 100% sure. I say this only because the process of calculating the votes could lead to some wrinkles here, because what they did is they gave you a picture of street sweeper number one and then the 12 names, and you pick one. And then the picture of street sweeper number two and the 12 names and the three, and then you pick one.
I see what you're saying.
And so if somebody decided to vote for the same name for all three, would that count differently than if they, you know, like, let's say the maximum number of votes go to what I would expect. One of them is going to be Sweeping Beauty. Okay, that's one of the finalists. But let's say, you know, 400 people vote for it for number three and 500 vote for it for number two. Do they add all of those up and then assign it to one? You know, like, that's the kind of question I have.
No,
so
I
I'm just,
it.
You know, I think the way they've set up the voting is a little bit unusual. But okay, so the finalists are Bruce Springsteen. Mm-hmm. Darth Sweeper, Dirt Reynolds, Dirty Harry, which, you know,
Dirt Reynolds.
I don't know. Did I use five or six bristles?
Do you feel
Fleetwood Vac, the Grim Sweeper. Remember, I told you Grim Sweeper is going to be on this list. I kind of like Fleetwood Vac, though.
Oh, that's my favorite.
It's so fast. Lightning McQueen. I told you that was going to be on the list. Obi-Wan Kenobi. I told you that was going to be on the list. Sweeping Beauty, of course, is going to be on the list. All the ones I told you were going to be on the finalist, they wound up being on the finalist list. Sweeping Giant, Sweeping It Real, and Sweeping McSweepface, which I think is an... just because I think what they probably did is they went with the ones that just had the most entries total.
Sure.
And they might have kept a couple of them because, you know, well, those ones are really good compared to the others. But yeah, no, this is a good list.
That's great.
This is a good list. And what I'm still curious about is to what degree we're going to have custom paint jobs to go along with the name. Because that's how you really embrace this.
I hadn't thought about that.
Is you do not, because, you know, how are people on the side of the road at 4 a.m. going to know which one they're driving next to, right?
Absolutely.
You want to have something really obvious. And, you know, I mean, I could see for the first time ever, the street sweeper is making an appearance at, like, the Touch a Truck events. And, you know, you can have, like, the PPD Blue Angels cruiser and the Corvette from the sheriff's office. And then you can have, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Absolutely.
And I think the kids would love that. So that's how I see this playing out.
That's a fun idea.
So they're going to pick, and then they'll let us know, obviously. Well, so you can go vote. The link is available on our Facebook page if you want to go there. It's very easy to find. I mean, it's probably on, like, the front page of the Pensacola City website, but it's very easy to find. Hey, Crawfish Festival comes up this Friday, April 28th through Sunday the 30th in Seville Square and Fountain Park. All kinds of fun and lots and lots and lots of good crawfish that you can eat. Newsradio923.com for more information. Hogfest also comes up Saturday, April 29th, Pensacola Harley-Davidson. $100 good for two tickets and an entry to win the new Harley. Every child, a reader, a Scambian, Pathways for Change are the beneficiaries. Find out more again or get tickets at newsradio923.com.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. House Republicans are debating among themselves a bill to raise the nation's debt ceiling in return for spending cuts. There was agreement on some changes overnight. Fox's Chad Pergam at the Capitol.
Republicans are trying to pressure President Biden to negotiate. Fox is told this is a defensive move in case the nation comes close to a default. Then they can blame the president for not meeting with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. But Fox has told Mr. Biden is waiting to see if Republicans can pass their own debt ceiling bill,
which would not get through Democrats in the Senate, and the president says he'd veto it if it did. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders endorses President Biden and says he will not run for president again next year. In Davenport, Iowa, there are barriers up and some roads closed. The Mississippi River could hit 20 feet over flood stage this weekend.
That's a significant flood. We don't have very many of those.
That's Davenport Mayor Mike Mattson. The record there is 22.7 feet. It was 4 years ago. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 News Radio 92.3, 66 degrees. It is partly cloudy in Pensacola. A young child was airlifted to the hospital after falling from a second-floor window in Navarre yesterday. Happened at a home on the 7,000 block of Majestic Boulevard. Santa Rosa County officials tell Channel 3 that child may have suffered a shoulder fracture. The window the child fell from was about 18 feet off the ground. Some of the world's best sailors, the American Magic Sailing Team, have now set off to Spain for the next phase of training before the America's Cup. They were sent off yesterday at a ceremony downtown. Team skipper Terry Hutchinson telling Channel 3 about the last few months that they've been training here in Pensacola.
We're always reminded how great sailing in Pensacola Bay is, and we've ventured out into the Gulf of Mexico a lot more in this session simply because the conditions that we're going to experience in Barcelona is much more like the sea state out in the Gulf. And so we do a split time in the bay and a split time outside in the Gulf, but it's phenomenal.
And Hutchinson also says that they've got 16 months now to train in Barcelona for the America's Cup. He says they'll continue developing their skills as a team. In what could be a step ahead of Governor DeSantis making an official run for president, one Florida lawmaker now proposing a key change to the state's Resign to Run law. News Radio's Joe Ford has more.
St. Augustine Senator Travis Hudson filed an amendment to a bill this week that he says would clarify who would need to resign and who wouldn't. Currently, the law says that anybody who qualifies for federal office must resign from the office he or she presently holds if the terms or any part run concurrently with each other. Hudson's amendment would essentially make clear that the law wouldn't apply for those campaigning for president or vice president. This isn't the first time lawmakers have changed the law. Back in 2007, then-Governor Charlie Crist was being considered as a running mate for Senator John McCain. And in 2018, the law changed again, with the exception for presidential and VP candidates removed. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
The city of Pensacola says they're still waiting for the full structural report on the recently closed Malcolm Young Gym. But safe to say, it probably won't be reopening anytime soon.
A formal report is pending, but in the meantime, I wanted to acknowledge that there's extensive rot to each end of all of the arches. There's major structural damage. Some of the arches are showing signs of buckling. In summary, the building's not safe for occupancy.
And that's Mayor D.C. Reeves. He shared the preliminary findings at his weekly news conference yesterday. That gym was closed March 24th due to safety concerns. The city owns the building. It was leased to the Lighthouse Christian Academy. There was some hope that the preliminary findings might deem it safe for staff and students to go back, but it appears that that is off the table now. 534 News Radio 92.3, Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be seeing some showers possible today with a 20% chance of rain. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies with a high near 80 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 67. We're going to be seeing showers and thunderstorms throughout the afternoon and evening on Thursday. 80% chance of rain overall, high near 78. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 67. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 66 in Pensacola, 67 in Gulf Breeze, 63 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola is your source for informative, local, dependable news and talk. Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay gets you a breakdown of the local issues from the county commission meetings to new developments. Pep Talk gets you local expert opinions on everything from gardens to HVAC. Brian Kilmeade interviews the national newsmakers. Dave Ramsey helps you become debt-free. Pensacola Right Now infotains on your drive home. Local and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. And traffic on the fives during your drive time. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
If you're looking for something to do, check out First City Arts Center, where there's something for the whole family. Starting with hot glass cold brew on May 5th, they'll have handcrafted cups, craft beer, food trucks, glass and ceramic demos, plus local art, live music, kids activities, and so much more. And if you're looking for an entertaining and educational venue for your kids, look no further. First City Arts Create-A-Sphere Summer Camp offers 10 consecutive weeks of theme-based camps ranging from pottery and glass to history and culture. Visit firstcityart.org for more.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Are you curious about marijuana? Florida A&M University established the Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, also known as MARI, to educate the public about medical marijuana use as well as the detrimental health and social impacts of unlawful marijuana use on local communities. Find out more at mmeri.famu.edu.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 537, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to our good sheriff of Escambia County, Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir. You know, you're the only one that gets that whoop run up. I mean...
Hey, it's not bad.
it's good to get an enthusiastic crowd, isn't it? So we had a shooting, overnight at the Moorings apartment complex, which I know the Moorings as the place where the tornado went through and wiped out that building. So that's, what I think of.
That a couple years ago.
Right.
That tore it up pretty good. Yeah, we had a call last night. Shots fired. We get there. We find a man in the parking lot with a gunshot wound to his neck, transported to the hospital for treatment. Unknown condition at this time. I got a message from some of my deputies that says dozens of people were in the surrounding area, but none witnessed the incident. Strange but true, I guess. Canine track was attempted but was unsuccessful. So we're asking if anyone has information. Our detectives have been out all night long and working on this and trying to find some leads and obviously talk to some witnesses that may have actually seen something.
I was just going to say, isn't it technically more accurate way to say that dozens of people in the area who all claim to not have seen.
or surprisingly, in jest, didn't see anything.
Oddly, all turned with their backs to the incident at the time. So
yeah,
strange.
Don't know nothing about nothing.
Was it a party? Was out? Do we know anything drive-by or did altercation? We just don't really know anything yet.
No, we don't. Okay. We don't know anything.
All right. Let's see. Over the weekend, we had something that made a little bit of news on Saturday. We had a guy who was threatening people with a machete. Is this right?
Yeah, we arrested a guy, 50-year-old, too. Should know better. Everett Norman, charged him with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon without intent to kill, I guess because it was in his car. But apparently he was causing some disturbance in the area of Mobile Highway and Lynch Street. Threatened three people with a machete, left the scene in a black Tahoe. We arrived, they found the car a short time later in Cervantes and Balin Streets, and we did recover the machete. We had a picture of that on our Facebook page. So,
under what circumstances is it lawful for a person to possess or carry a machete?
Well, I mean, you can carry a machete, I guess,
it's
if you're out in your
it's
yard.
It's just a big knife, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a big knife. The problem is when you threaten to kill someone with it.
Sure. Like walking around, can you walk around? Like, I don't even know. I'm not prone to do it. I'm not asking for me personally. I'm just curious if somebody's walking around with them, because you could walk with a knife on your hip, you know, a hunting knife or something like that. That's okay.
Right.
At what point does just the carrying become illegal? I don't know the answer. You're the law guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe I'm not the law guy now. I can tell you. I guess it depends on whatever. You can carry a concealed weapon. A knife can be a concealed weapon at times. And there's with a new law coming around where you can carry a concealed firearm.
Right.
You can obviously carry a concealed knife as well.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
I think that you cannot carry an open weapon like that in public.
Okay.
You can't do that.
I'm gonna ask you another one. It's just because it's on my brain. I don't know the answer. Are switchblades legal in Florida? Just because you're getting me thinking about like concealed weapons and what kinds of things you would. I don't even know. I haven't lived here my whole life, so.
Yeah, I don't know about that either. I'm not a knife expert, but I can find out for you about the switchblades.
Okay, I'm curious.
I know there are a lot of the assisted type of mechanisms that work with knives, and those are obviously okay. But I think the ones where you push that actually has a force that the knife sticks out.
Okay.
I don't believe that they're legal in Florida, but I'd have to check on that.
Okay. I'm just curious. It occurs to me as we're talking about the machete rules. not that I'm. let's see. We also had on Friday. We had your deputies were chasing somebody, and they got an assist from a tree.
We had a guy. We've had a couple of people that think that it's okay still to run from the law enforcement, and a lot of them have been driving stolen cars. This particular incident, we arrested a 26-year-old. Jerry Anderson Jr. He fled a traffic stop in the area of Hollywood and Avery Streets. They were eventually able to locate him several blocks away whenever he crashed into a tree. When people run from the law, they typically can't drive that well, and they drive and crash into in this case a tree. But we ended up catching him, and we found that he had some marijuana, also driving without a license. He was attempting to flee and elude, and he also was violating parole. So this is not a first-time offense for this individual. So we intend to thank the tree at some time later on.
The tree can get most valuable fauna or flora, whichever one is for the vegetables. And then going back to Thursday, you had a couple of people arrested on some more significant drug crimes, right? Warrant service, I think?
Yeah, we had a search warrant on this particular home, and we arrested 40-year-old Kendall Akins and 41-year-old Ashley Pierce. In that house, we seized 24 grams of cocaine, 14 grams of oxycodone, 65 grams of marijuana, some ecstasy, and 4 grams of hydrocodone. All that means is he had some rather wide variety of drugs, and the concerning part was the cocaine seized had been mixed with fentanyl. And we talk a lot about people overdosing on fentanyl, not knowing exactly what they are getting. In this particular case, we had an individual or individuals who are taking their cocaine and cutting it or adding to it with fentanyl. And so if an individual takes too much of that, or if their mixture isn't exactly accurate, then it can be some very tragic
in those volumes. I'm terrible with understanding this, but like 24 grams of cocaine is, I'm guessing it's like a half a cup ish volume, a cup maybe, something like that. It's not massive volume like you see these big drug busts with kilos or whatever, but it's not personal possession amounts probably, right, either.
Yeah, that's what we get into. Is this an amount that you were going to use for one time, or are you trying to package it for distribution? In this case, when you're cutting it with fentanyl, it appears that as if you're trying to make money off of it. I think that the fact that they had such a variety would lead us to believe that they were probably trying to sell it or in that intermediate salesman type role.
We're talking about drugs, but you guys just had a prescription drug take-back event in conjunction with the Drug Enforcement Agency, right?
Yeah, we partner with the DEA and provide a location for people to take expired medication. The deal here is that people have expired medication, or the medication from a loved one that may have passed, and they don't have anything, don't know what to do with the drugs. A lot of times people will flush them down the commode and put that those drugs, those very dangerous drugs in many cases, into our water system. And so we partner with DEA and provide an opportunity. We can collect these drugs and then they can dispose of them properly. We were able to, on Saturday, seize about 200 pounds of medication that was turned in just to our sheriff's office, and we will give that over to the DEA, our local DEA partners, and then they will dispose of it so that, again, these particular amounts of medication won't be in the hands of someone else that could abuse them, but also can't be into our waterway and potentially
kids can't find it, doesn't wind up down the drain, you know, all of the advantages of that. You did have one other case we didn't talk about. This was a traffic stop with what turned out to be a stolen silver Impala. Is that right?
Yeah, we had a guy. I told you a second ago that for some reason, we got a lot of stolen cars now. I mean, there's. I know that cars have always been stolen, you know, since Henry Ford's first.
Are they typically left? Are they typically left open? Are stolen cars typically left unlocked?
Yes.
Keys in them.
Yes. Okay. They're typically left unlocked, and they hide the keys in such great places like under the visor or under the seat, where no one would ever think to look for them. So
right, the impossible places that no thief would ever think of. Right.
I think what's happened is these are car burglars. They're looking for anything to steal, and when they come across keys, they just take the car as well, and then they use that car to affect other crimes. Almost every one of our recent shootings have been done in a stolen vehicle.
Got it.
It's just they steal a car and then they go take that car. Because they obviously, I think that it's because they plan to run from law enforcement, and they don't care if they crash into a tree. They don't care if they bump someone in that particular car. So, we're just asking people to kind of lock your doors or keep your keys in your pocket.
And last thing I wanted to ask you, and this is kind of a follow-up to something you and I talked about a little while back. One of the things when you became sheriff was you wanted to open a couple of new precincts in Molino and Perdido. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't make the news that we did something and it's having an effect or, you know, whatever. But I was just going to follow up. Have you seen value out of having those substations be opened? Is it performing the way you expected to be? And do you expect to open any others?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Thank you. We first opened these two because historically the sheriff's office had a building. We just weren't occupying it. So we have had a substation or what we call a precinct in these areas. But there was some reorganization and we didn't have that. So it's important to me to have a location where residents of a different particular community can come and meet with shift commanders, can meet with the deputies and take reports from there. And so we opened the one again in Molino and the one in Perdido, and it's worked out very well. We still have issues with trying to get people through training, and that's why we're opening our own training academy. So ultimately, when we have we have about 20 to 25 deputies that are now in training, and then we can get them on the streets, then we can continue to fill the outline, what we call the outlying precinct. So it's worked very well. My job, I believe, is to look at the future. You know, I'm not so sure if I'm the only one that looks at the future of this. I drive down some of these roadways and I see all these huge apartment complexes, and I wonder how many deputies am I going to need to handle that increased burden.
Yeah.
So I'm every time I get an opportunity, I talk to some of our commissioners, specifically Commissioner Bragash recently, about potentially getting a substation in the Beulah area because of just so much growth over in Beulah. And then going back.
I know a spot of land where they might have space for you.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's
about 500 acres right now, just thinking out loud, but go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I just need a precinct in the Beulah area. I don't know. I mean, the sheriff's office doesn't own property. The county owns the property, and then we make use of that property. So I'm, again, maybe not this year, maybe not even next year, but I think that we need to take a look at that from a manpower perspective and also just from a logistics standpoint where we can get our deputies into particular areas. They're growing so fast.
Yeah, the byproduct of growth is you need services like fire, services like sheriff, right? So, I mean, that makes perfect sense. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff. Sir, as always, thanks for the time. Thanks for keeping us informed and receiving the adulation of my producer. I appreciate that.
Or not.
Y'all take care.
Absolutely. 549 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. When you go to buy a vehicle, a used vehicle, what you're going to want to do is get a Carfax to start. And I always recommend a good used vehicle inspection by a mechanic you trust because you never know what a Carfax might not have because that is dependent on who reports what. But it's something, okay? It's way better than nothing at all. And so when you go to buy a car at Frontier, of course, they give you the price sheet and they give you Carfax. No problem, of course. When you go to buy from somebody, you know, what, Facebook Marketplace or some corner lot or whatever, maybe they give you a Carfax, maybe they don't. And if they don't, of course, I think you ought to kind of ask, well, why not? But it's not a big deal. You just call Carfax or call Frontier with the VIN, and they'll do you Carfax, no charge, no problem. You say, why would Frontier give me the ability to buy a car from somebody else? Because they can. And they just want to make sure people are informed. They want to, if they can maybe help you avoid buying a car that's got problems that you didn't know about, that's it. They figure they can be of use. You say, does that produce business for them? I mean, maybe. You know, I talk about it. You know, maybe you're excited about that and the next time you go to them instead. I don't know. But maybe it doesn't produce anything for them except that they did a good thing. See, when I say that Frontier Motors have been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the big buffalo on Beverly Parkway, that's the kind of thing that I mean.
It's Fiesta time, and there's a lot going on with Fiesta Pensacola. Tune in today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel to hear about all the events coming up with the Pensacola Crawfish Festival this weekend downtown at Seville Square in Fountain Park. Get ready to get your Cajun on with Fiesta Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The following message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Sarah is 64 and loves to garden. Recently, her health insurance ran out, leaving her worried about more than just weeds. She called the Elder Helpline and spoke with a volunteer SHINE counselor about her options. There, she received free, unbiased counseling on health insurance for those on Medicare. For more information or to volunteer, call 1-800-963-5337 or go to floridashine.org.
It's the biggest party of the year. Unfiltered, off-kilter, and a little unhinged with PLT's Cabaret Off-Broadway. Saturday, May 6th, Cabaret's Playhouse theme transforms the theater and surrounding block into an indoor-outdoor entertainment complex, seamlessly fusing local art and celebration to showcase art as the life of the party. Come immerse yourself in the best of Pensacola's art scene. Get your tickets now before it sells out at the Pensacola Little Theater box office or online at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
Hey guys, I'm Nicole Stacy. There are more things to do in our area than you can even imagine. So who better to share the adventure of the Pensacola experience than the team at Visit Pensacola? Share with us your experience by using the hashtag ExperiencePeakOla. Go to visitpensacola.com and listen in Friday at 9:30 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
Scotty, beat me up.
If you love me, come on, get involved. Feel it rushing through you from your head to toe. Oh, oh, oh.
Sorry, I'm over here just dancing and not thinking about how somebody stole music from Marvin Gaye. 550, although it's not this one, right? What is this? What's the song that he's in trouble over? That
you know you want it.
Oh,
you
know you... okay. All right. What? No, not is it? Is that?
Who is this?
No, this is Ed Sheeran.
Oh, I forgot.
There's a Marvin Gaye song that he's there's a litigation over. So
I forget what it's called.
I didn't go listen to him. I can't give you an opinion other than. I'm sure if you listen to it, you'd be like, oh, yeah, no, that's that's definitely a problem. 5:53 here on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
A bomb threat to blame for putting an Illinois university on lockdown yesterday. Bradley University in Peoria had to notify students and faculty to shelter in place last night after authorities said an elaborate and involved threat was received. They finally gave an all clear about midnight last night. Rivers are flooding all across the Midwest because of melting snow. Not good for all of my people back home. The National Weather Service says the Mississippi River in Wisconsin is forecast to crest over 16 feet this week, the third highest ever.
Oh, good.
And
right, yeah, I'm like,
well, that's what they get for trading Aaron Rodgers.
We're downriver in Alton, you know, and in St. Louis, so, you know.
Right.
Were you there for the floods?
I wasn't. Yeah, I wasn't. My wife was.
Yeah, I was.
She lived in Waterloo at that
time. The floods on the Mississippi are something completely different.
Yeah, it is.
It can be really bad. And there's a collection of Freddie Mercury's prized possessions going up for auction soon, if there's any Freddie Mercury fans or collectors in this room here.
Oh, would that be you?
No.
Oh, all right. My former producer out in Phoenix, that's his one and only band.
Is Queen.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All the Queen.
Well, that's a great
all
band.
All the time.
Yeah.
I mean, you can make worse choices.
Well, apparently the Queen singer's London home has remained untouched since he died in 91. Now its contents are all being put up for sale. It includes his stage costumes, the jeweled crown he wore on stage, and handwritten lyrics to We Are the Champions.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Look at that.
Might be worth quite a bit.
Buy the lyrics, get the house as a throw-in.
I thought his partner or that Mary chick that he was with. Did you guys see the movie?
Yes.
Oh, that one of them would have. Well, I guess that's
somebody,
probably who's putting it up for auction now that I think
apparently
about it.
Not. All right, David.
Somebody needs some money.
Thanks for the update. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, this is kind of an odd note, but you know the Equal Rights Amendment? Is it or isn't
it? Yeah.
Is it or isn't it? There's actually semi-live conversation about whether it is already part of the Constitution. Did you know this? Because when they first put up the ERA and it got ratified by, it needed to be, 38, I think is the number of states that need to be ratified by, and it got to 35, and then it didn't happen. And there was a 7-year time limit on it. So it expired. It's done. Well, then in the last, it wasn't exactly recently, but, you know, over about, you know, 2016, 2017, 2020 vintage, and I think Virginia was the most recent one, they ratified it, which put it at 38. Well, the question is, did that 7 years really limit or not? In fact, there's a move now to remove that language from it, which I guess was done in the House already, and the Senate could do it now under the Democrat leadership. So Chuck Schumer is talking about revising the original statute to get rid of that 7-year time limit, which would mean you'd count all the yay votes, and it would have 38, which would officially put it into the Constitution. Oh, but wait, there's more. There's more. Five of the states that originally ratified the Equal Rights Amendment withdrew their ratification. Idaho, Kentucky, Nebraska, Tennessee, and South Dakota all undid it, basically. North Dakota did it in 2021. That's a sixth one. North Dakota legislature adopted a resolution saying that its ratification of the ERA had lapsed in 1979 when the 7 years was up. But historically, no state has ever been allowed to withdraw its vote for a constitutional amendment. That's never been recognized as valid. So do we have 38 or not? Do we have 32 or not? Is the 7-year time limit binding or not? It's not officially a part of it because the caretaker who would put this in, the kind of administrator, refused to add it to the Constitution. And there's a live argument apparently amongst legal scholars whether it's officially part of the Constitution or not. Like, some people think it really is already a part of the Constitution and nobody else knows it. Also, kind of interesting, in 1997, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, then Supreme Court Justice, of course she's passed away now, had said that there was no practical difference between what has actually evolved in the law and what the ERA would do, but she still would like to see it in the Constitution as a symbol for her granddaughter. So, you got me, man. I think that's the most savvy analysis, that the ERA is already in place in practice. But
no, it's not. Sort of, it is, mostly. Oh, okay, sorry, go ahead. Not my show.
But the argument against the ERA historically has been not what you might think, which is, you know, by sexists who don't want to see women get their due, but by people who think that you would lose a lot of things that women do have. Like, for instance, you wouldn't be able to have, maybe, this is how the argument goes, you wouldn't be able to have separate sporting for women, because that would be a kind of separate but equal. Something that we like for women. You wouldn't be able to have women avoid being registered for the draft because that's a sex-based discrimination, which, by the way, there's a kind of a hanging out there court case where some men sued saying that it was discriminatory against them to have to register for Selective Service when women don't. So part of the opposition to the ERA is that it'd be bad for women because it would take away some of the benefits that they have gotten given to them precisely because they were women if we were all truly equal.
Local Talk in the Morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3.